WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Europe and Canada announce retaliatory tariffs after President Trump's tariffs take hold on steel and aluminum. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen.
We are responding with countermeasures worth 26 billion euros. This matches the economic scope of the tariffs of the United States.
A fresh government report on inflation shows it slowed a bit last month, but CBS's Jill Schlesinger says egg prices were up more than 10%, highlighting higher food costs.
Prices for food at home were up by 1.9%. If you go out to eat, prices going out 3.7% higher than a year ago.
National Education Association President Becky Pringle is fighting the Trump plan to dismantle the Department of Education.
They cannot shut down the Department of Education without the votes in Congress. And we have to tell them no.
CBS News Brief. I'm Steve Kathan.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly. With just a couple of weeks left before the April 1st election, the candidates in the pivotal Wisconsin Supreme Court race will hold their only debate tonight. Judge Susan Crawford and Judge Brad Schimmel will get their chance to speak directly to voters on impactful issues like abortion access and legislative district maps. The race has already become the most expensive in the state's history. An Elon Musk-backed PAC has spent millions on advertising and outreach for Schimmel, while the Democratic Party has donated millions to Crawford. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources has announced that recipients of the ATV Enhancement Grant Program can now apply for supplemental grant funding as well. The ATV Safety Enhancement Grants were awarded for projects meant to improve the safety and accessibility of ATV and UTV trails across the state, including upgrades to communication systems and safety information. The supplemental funding will only be available to recipients of the original grants, and applications for the supplemental grants will be accepted until Friday. Marshfield Clinic Health Systems is looking for residents in the Rice Lake area who are interested in participating in a cancer prevention study. Residents between 30 and 70 years old with no personal history of cancer can enroll for the National Cancer Institute Connect for Cancer Prevention Study in Rice Lake today. A second enrollment session will take place in late April. The National Cancer Institute is seeking around 200,000 people across the country for the study, which plans to explore causes of cancer to improve prevention efforts. Rebecca Cook announced her candidacy for Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District again at a Chippewa Falls farm on Tuesday morning. It's the third time Cook is running for the seat, having lost in the Democratic primary in 2022 and in the general election this past November. Notably, Cook did outperform both former Vice President Kamala Harris and Senator Tammy Baldwin in the 3rd Congressional District. Cook says she will be more aggressive in this campaign in an effort to hold Congressman Derek Van Orden accountable over controversial policies. For WCFW News, I'm James Kelly.
The Brewers beat the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens. Baseball, the Brewers with a 9-7 win over the Cubs out in Arizona. Home runs by Jake Bowers, Vinny Capra, Rhys Hoskins. Right-hander Brandon Woodruff pitched against a Padres minor league team, gave up 3 runs in 3 innings in his first appearance since having shoulder surgery 17 months ago.
The changeup's got a long way to go, but all the other stuff is pretty much right where I want it.
NFL defensive back Eric Stokes is leaving the Packers, the former first-round pick signing a 1-year deal with the Raiders worth $4 million. NBA, the Bucks losing to the Pacers 115-114 in Indy. Giannis missing a game-winning shot at the buzzer. And the Bucks mourning the loss of former player and part owner Junior Bridgman, who died after suffering a heart attack at a Boy Scouts luncheon in Louisville.
I mean, when you think about it, he is the exact motto that the league should use every day when they're talking to our young players. So, tough day. Just really a tough day.
That's the Bucks' Doc Rivers with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
The sun won't stop. There's plenty of it today with high temperatures reaching the mid-50s and more of it tomorrow as we climb to the low 60s. Clouds start to roll in for Friday. Things become breezy and we get muggy and warm with highs reaching 70. Then at night, thunderstorms roll through. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 41 degrees.
Matt Nair on air.
Will Westmoreland is joining us now. He is a farmer in southwestern Missouri.
This is an 80-20 Republican area down here. You can't throw a rock without hitting a Republican. And I still know all the guys I graduated with. So I always ask, don't admit you were wrong, just admit you were lied to. That's a lot easier to do. If you just admit you were lied to, you can get over here with us and start working to fight the problem.
Matt Nair on air, weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
At National Geographic Society, we believe in the power of wonder. It drives us to explore, pushes us to see the world differently, moves us to action. And we believe that today, wonder is more essential than ever.
Wow.
That's why we're supporting a new generation of explorers to ask big questions, make breakthroughs, and bring the future closer. Wonder awaits. Will you join us? Visit natgeo.org/wonder.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, a preview of the Wisconsin Supreme Court debate with Matt Rothschild and Angela Lang filling in. Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is 93.5 The Tap.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with our outstanding producer, Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 past the hour of 12 noon on this Wednesday, May 12th, 2025. It is... Dum-ba-dum.
Pump day!
The camel running a little late today, but
you
he
know,
got here.
It happens.
But he
it
got
happens.
Here. He got here. Very good. Mr. Zommers, how are you today? It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite on the 12th of March, 2025. It is hump day. It's sunny. We're downtown Madison at the old world headquarters. How are you?
Doing all right. You know, I'm still getting used to stupid daylight savings time.
I know,
it throws
right?
me all off and ugh. I hate it. And I'm sure you do as well.
It's, here's the deal. I got in and I come across town to get to work, and who beat me into the office today was Pat Kreitlow, who came from Chippewa Falls.
He did beat you here by like 10 minutes.
And a speedy driver, that Kreitlow. I was on his show this morning, and then he got down. And in fairness, I was home working on some stuff because tonight we have this great forum that's going to be talking about the April 1st election for Supreme Court justice and the implications. And it's being put on by Courier News Service and Up North News Radio. And they were kind enough, or desperate enough, to ask me to be one of the moderators for tonight. And I'm very honored to do so. More honored to be on the, not on the panel, but a moderator with our friend and colleague, the founder of the Recombobulation Area, and also the political editor here at Civic Media, Dan Schaefer, is one of the moderators, along with the aforementioned Patrick Kreitlow. So he's good. And by the way, Pat's, he's a busy guy. He's doing a meet and greet right now with some of his fans, but he'll be in here in the studio in a little while.
Well, if you can get past all of the screaming girls.
Exactly right. So that's going to be a lot of fun. And then we expect at some point, our old friend and ongoing contributor, Mr. Trygve Olson, former Republican like myself, native of River Falls, a senior advisor with the Lincoln Project, and he'll check in on a Wednesday as well. So all that coming up. And of course, we have another edition of What's Worse coming up here today. Your chance to call in and vote on the important issues of the day. Not
this
really.
One stings a little.
Nicely done. This one does sting a little. So lots to get to on the show. Your weight, I think we've talked about this on the show before. You're way too young, but CBS on Saturdays used to have a show back in the days called Hee Haw. And it was a spoof on Country Life, but it was also super funny and hugely popular for CBS back in the 70s into the early 80s.
Yeah, my mom watched it.
Thanks a lot, Gilligan. Another show you didn't watch, but
which my mom also watched.
Wow, Dahmer's is burning me today. But yeah, Hee Haw was a great show, and they had a segment on there, an ongoing segment called Samples Sales, where and this was real actually, because I watched a thing last night on YouTube. Roy Clark was one of the big stars of Hee Haw, one of the co-hosts, and he was a legit musician, really, really famous musician, country music guy, won a bunch of Grammys and country music awards, was a phenomenal virtuoso guitar player and guitar picker, along with being a singer. And so they interviewed Roy Clark late in his life before he passed away, of course, and Roy Clark was telling this story about Junior Samples. And he was a larger guy, always wore bib overhauls on. And they made up this fictitious car lot called Sample Sales. And he played this part of this kind of country bumpkin used car sales guy. And a lot of people would ask Roy Clark when he traveled around the country, is that real or is that just a bit? And Roy Clark told this great story, and I'll shorten it up, that Junior Samples was a guy who grew up in rural Georgia and was making moonshine, helping make moonshine in the hills of Georgia at 8.
Wow.
And by 12, Junior had his own moonshine business. And so he got arrested so many times that the last time that Junior Samples got arrested, the judge said, Junior, I'm not joking around. We arrest you again. We're putting in the slammer and throwing away the key. So he stopped making moonshine. And just started fishing, basically. Well, he told these great stories, as only a Southern boy can do. And one of them was about a big fish, a whopper. Well, this was recorded back in the day, probably on a cassette or something, in somebody's basement. And one of the people that was going to be on Hee Haw heard this and brought it. They said, bring this guy in. Well, they put Junior Samples on TV and turned on the cameras, and that was it. They're like, this is what we're going for. And so he'd come out, and he'd have this sign, because back in the day, you had numbers and letters for a phone number. It said BR549. And he'd come out, he'd kick whatever vehicle it was in, and he'd say, this Junior Samples from Samples Used Car. And he was reading it off of cue cards. He was a terrible reader. But it made it all the funnier, right?
Right.
And you go, this Junior Samples, the Samples Used Cars. Come on down. I got a 1971 Chevrolet. She is energy efficient and doesn't have any pollutants. And then some girl, his assistant would say, Junior, that car doesn't have an engine. He'd say, shh. That's why it's a real price. I'll sell it to you for only $1,000. And for another $2,000, you can drive it off the lot. And people loved it, you understand? Well, I tell that story because Sample Sales has been reopened after really? all these years. And yesterday on the lawn of the White House in Washington, D.C., Donald Trump was playing the part of Junior Samples, and he was selling Teslas. This part, I am not, well, none of it, everything I've said is true, but I'm not making this up. And so there you have the president of the United States. And look, Joe Biden did this before for Jeep, like when Jeep had an electric vehicle. The difference is Biden had just like, he would get in the car and drive it around the White House. I think Obama did this once when Jerry Seinfeld had his comedians in cars getting coffee. And then, of course, famously, when Ford rolled out their electric vehicle, Biden went to like the Arizona track, whatever, and got it up to like 100 miles an hour, and everybody loved it. The difference is yesterday that Trump is there with Elon Musk, the owner of Tesla, and they have a variety of cars. And Elon sells, quote unquote, sells Trump a car. Trump gets in, has no idea how to run it, no idea. And the press is like, are you going to drive it like Biden did? And Trump says, you're the only one that saw that. And Trump couldn't drive it. And he got out and then went through all the prices and how you order one and aren't they great? Well, then last night, and people thought it was kind of funny, but odd. Then last night on Anderson Cooper, the great reporter Maggie Haberman from the New York Times did great investigative work. Turns out Elon Musk paid Donald Trump $100 million. And unlike his $200, almost $300 million that he put into Donald Trump's campaign apparatus, This $100 million, according to Maggie Haberman of the New York Times, is going to specific Trump-controlled operations, of which he can write checks for quote-unquote expenses to himself or anybody else in the family.
Sounds about right.
So, if you want a new Tesla, come on down to Trump Sample Sales, and it'll only cost you about $100 million. Joining us via StreamYard right now, our friend, our colleague, native of River Falls, great hockey player, and I don't believe a guy who ever bought a used car from Junior Samples, the one, the only senior advisor of the Lincoln Project, Trigvi Olson. Trigvi, how are you?
I never bought a used car from Junior Samples.
But do you
bought a Tesla. I never bought a Tesla either.
But do you remember Hee-Haw?
I do remember Hee-Haw. In fact, we went and toured the Grand Ole Opry not long ago. It's fantastic.
Right?
I used to shoot Hee-Haw. Yeah.
Yeah.
Roy Clark.
Yeah, I was saying earlier about Roy Clark and Hee-Haw. But I mean, what's your take, Trigvi, on this spectacle on the White House lawn yesterday?
I mean, spectacle's the word. It's outrageous. It's, you know, it's befitting a country far less than what ours once was, and an insult to people like my old friend who's subsequently long gone, Adie Halverson, who is a survivor of the Bataan Death March.
Mm-hmm. No,
outrageous.
And I think the fact that, and the great reporting by Maggie Haberman in the New York Times, pardon me, that this was more than just a commercial. Because Tesla, by the way, for those that don't know, Elon Musk company, that's where he has made most of his wealth. And by the way, he didn't create it. He just took it over after it was already kind of booming. But that's where he gets most of his money. And I believe I saw this morning where Elon Musk lost like $44 billion in the last month because Tesla's crashing. He's still worth, you know, whatever, 200 and some billion. But Elon Musk company is crashing. And so he's worried about this. And so Trump is propping him up. But the real, in my opinion, Trigvi, the real audacity of it is the fact now, according to this reporting in the New York Times, that Elon Musk paid Trump another $100 million. And you know, you understand these things better than I because you've had to deal with it, people working against you in politics. Some of these quote-unquote political committees, it's pretty darn easy to write yourself a check for quote-unquote expenses. And some of this money just ends up back in the candidate or the people who are running the campaign. And there's not a lot of traceability. And appears that's what's happened here between Musk and Trump yet again.
Well, it kind of is a mechanism for control, right? Certainly control within the Republican Party, because you put $100 million into the Trump super PACs, which is an astronomical amount of money. And that, you know, thereby creates a threat on Republican House members. You'll be primaried and we'll spend that money taking you out, right? So it's, you know, that becomes, it does end up serving Trump's interests. How they'll apply that, you know, it's a big stick for him to have. And I'm sure some of it will find its way into affiliated entities, but, you know, I don't know that, but certainly it is a huge stick. I think the bigger question, though, is, you know, there was some research that came out in the last couple of days that suggests 85% of Tesla shareholders believe that Elon Musk's activities in politics are having a negative or very negative impact on the company's economic situation.
Yeah. No, there was somewhere in CNN.
It's malfeasance.
Yeah, it really is. Come on back. We'll take your phone calls. Trigvi, Pat Kreitler will find his way eventually here. 855-752-4842. Kreitler signing autographs in our lobby now. It's the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people.
Nevada Senate Bill 406 made it a felony to harass or intimidate election workers. In a federal appeals court March 7th, four right-wing activists claimed that the law is too vague and could allow them to be unfairly intimidated against participating in the election process. SB 406, signed by Republican Governor Joe Lombardo in May 2023, was unanimously passed in both houses of the legislature after threats to Nevada election workers following the 2020 and 2022 elections. Under the new law, individuals who intend to interfere with the conduct of an election or retaliate against election officials could face up to 4 years in prison. It also protects election workers from doxing, disseminating their personal information. The Reno Gazette Journal reports that the plaintiffs used a 2020 social media post by Attorney General Aaron Ford to demonstrate that the law was too vague and itself could be viewed as intimidation. Ford's post read in part, "FYI, voter intimidation is illegal in Nevada. Believe me when I say it, you do it and you will be prosecuted," unquote. The case, dismissed in federal circuit court for lack of evidence, is backed by wealthy election denier and plaintiff Robert Beatles. Depending on the Ninth Circuit's decision, it could be challenged further in the U.S. Supreme Court. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Ready for the April election? Here's a special invitation for you. Join the free Protecting Justice for All conversation about the Wisconsin Supreme Court race Wednesday, March 12th from 5 till 7 p.m. at the Overture Center in Madison.
Up North News Radio host Pat Kreitlow, Civic Media's Todd Albaugh and Dan Schaefer will lead a guest discussion about the economy, education, environment, and more. Then stay for the candidates' debate watch party.
Attend in person or listen to live coverage from the Overture Center in Madison Wednesday night, March 12th from 5 till 7 on your local Civic Media radio station and the app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Hi, friend. Honest as a day is long samples here. Folks, I don't mind telling you I made a bundle pushing used cars. And starting this weekend, I'm passing my profits on to you. Come on down to the lot and ask one of our salesmen out of on parole to work out some terms for you. That's BR549, and hold down the collect calls. I'm no Rockefeller, you know.
Welcome back to the Todd Albaugh Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It's 21 past the hour of 12 noon on Wednesday, March 12th. Zobbers on the board. Trigby Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project on the old StreamYard. That was the one and only, the incomparable Junior Samples from Hee Haw back in the day, the great CBS show that was spoofing rural life. And again, that accent, the whole thing, that was the real deal. Junior was right off the farm down there in rural Georgia, and they just put cue cards in front of him and let him go. I like the line, hold the collect calls. I'm no Rockefeller, you know. Well done, Mr. Zomers. Appreciate it. Welcome back. We're talking about this used car sales deal. Not really, but kind of sort of. Donald Trump selling cars, Teslas, on the White House lawn, along with the owner of the company, Elon Musk. Trump claims he bought one, got in, couldn't drive it, didn't want to drive it. Unlike Joe Biden and Barack Obama and George W. Bush, which all drove vehicles while they were president. And afterwards, I might add. And then the reporting comes out by Maggie Haberman of New York Times last night that Elon Musk has paid Donald Trump another $100 million to his, I'm going to call them personal campaign funds. That's not exactly right. But the difference is when Musk put in the $200+ million during the campaign, that went to Trump's Make America Great Again PAC, Political Action Committee. And the reporting that the New York Times did last night is these are smaller PACs that are more directly controlled by Trump and his family, making it easier for them to divvy out money to themselves under the auspices of quote-unquote expenses. 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. Let's go to John, listening on WAUK in Milwaukee. John, thanks for calling in. What do you have?
Well, your comment on spectacle on the White House grounds made me think of something I wanted to share. years ago, probably about 2010, somewhere in that area, Senator Ron Johnson was invited to our holiday meeting to speak and had no idea how to read a room. And if he used feckless to describe President Obama, he must have used it 30, 40 times. And not understanding that there's as many for Obama as maybe against. Mm. And the same thing here with this Tesla. Yeah, he's going to go to his base, but maybe not have that kind of finances for that car. And likewise, he's going to turn off an equal number of people. And Tesla's sliding right now. That's not going to help it, in my opinion.
Yeah. No, I appreciate it.
Can I mention one last quick thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
I have problems, and I've written our people. We only have three national people in the Democratic Party, which is Tammy Baldwin, Gwen Moore, and Mark Buchan. And they're doing a good job, but they should be doing town halls across the state, the three of them together. Forget about the Republicans. We can't affect their change. But they could be holding and getting people to express their concerns.
Appreciate the call, John. Just make sure you know before we let you go, Congressman Buchan actually has already done that. He was on MSNBC last night and alluded to he might do another one this weekend. What he's done, what he did last week, is he went to one of the small towns I know very well in far southwest Wisconsin in Lafayette County called Belmont. My old professor, Jack O'Neill, used to call it the corners, the crossroads of the nation, because geographically it's the middle of the country. Anyway, Belmont, the first state capital of Wisconsin, by the way. And Congressman Buchan held a town hall there. It's about 10 miles from Platteville, which is actually in Van Orden's district, in the 3rd district. And the room was packed, and lots of people came. And I think he's going to continue to do similar things like that. 855-752-4842. Mark in Pere de Sac. Mark, thanks for calling. What say you?
Yeah, I can't help but think that this little commercial that Trump did, it's pretty dangerously close to a constitutional violation, because the only thing the president's supposed to get while he's in office is actually, you know, his salary. And I mean, they use a little technique, well, we can put it in his presidential campaign or like this, but he just doles that out to family members and anything like this. So it just is, it's pretty offensive to me just on the constitutional basis. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, I think the only thing the president is actually supposed to get, according to the Constitution, is his salary. And to profitize off of that is just kind of a, you know, violation of the spirit of the Constitution, if not the Constitution itself.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, Mark. Again, Trigvi, I'll defer to you a little bit there because you've had a lot more experience in D.C. than me. But while a person is president of the United States, they get a modest salary. What is it, $300,000-$400,000 now, technically? But, yeah, I mean, there are rules in all of politics. It doesn't matter whether you're president or U.S. senator or congressman, right? I mean, you can't directly profit or do a quid pro quo and take donations for legislation or anything else.
Technically, I don't think that they really care. So
technically, he says. And then, of course, you have to have a Department of Justice who will enforce that and defend it, and courts who will uphold it.
Theoretically, you're not supposed to just create, you know, the administration's not supposed to create agencies that give a bunch of people who aren't even government, who are temporary government employees, the right to go rummaging through all our data and put AI on it all across the entire federal government either. But
technically,
you're supposed to, if a court rules that you're supposed to do something, you're supposed to do it. Technically, technically the Constitution suggests that Congress makes spending decisions, but
I'm not the smartest guy in the world, but there seems to be a through line there, Trigvi.
You think?
I like a salty Trigvi.
Yeah, I am kind of saucy today.
You are. When we come back, we're going to take a short break.
I'm tired, Todd.
I can tell you're a little tired.
I know.
Did you play hockey? I almost called you last night, but I was afraid you'd be playing hockey.
I was not. I was working late.
Oh, all right. When we come back, I want your perspective. We're going to take a little break for Pam Yonke, the amazing, fabulous farm babe, for some agricultural updates, news, and sports. And when we come back, I want to ask Trigvi and his experience, particularly in Eastern Europe, fighting autocracies and dictators. What can we take of the United States now arresting a citizen or a permanent resident with a green card and taking that away because of their political views. Come on back. It's the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, the Chippewa Valley's home for Matt Nair on air.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Today kicks off the Professional Dairy Producers Annual Business Conference. Thousands of dairy producers and agribusinesses are meeting at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison for this event. I'm Stephanie Hoff, along with you on a Wednesday. You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report. Our own Ben Jarbo and Farm Director Pam Yonke are heading over there this afternoon. On the agenda today, dairy producers from the European Union will share their experience with carbon credits, among other topics. Professional Dairy Producers Executive Director Shelley Meyer has the details.
We have dairy farmers coming in from Ireland, France, and the Netherlands. And daring is daring, but obviously they work in a little bit different business climate. But it'll be very, very interesting this year to gather their insights on where they've been, because they've been trending ahead on the discussions of sustainability. They no longer have as much government support as they had. How are they navigating that? But also, what is their perspective right now? What's happening with the tariffs and some of the markets that we're seeing? And I think it'll be very, very interesting to sit next to them.
International perspectives to look forward to today at the Professional Dairy Producers Annual Business Conference. Executive Director Shelley Meyer joining us with the preview. The business conference goes through tomorrow at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison. Walk-ins are welcome. Look for photos at Midwest Farm Report on Facebook. And, of course, watch for coverage on our website, MidwestFarmReport.com. Dairy markets are also a part of the conversation this week. We'll take a look at the numbers next.
Severe thunderstorms, tornadoes, floods. What you see in real time helps tremendously in the warning process. The Midwest Farm Report and the National Weather Service are recruiting citizen scientists to relay local weather observations. Tracking vital weather information also plays an important role in gathering climate information used in our daily agricultural workday decisions. Volunteer citizen scientists have been lending a hand for decades and thoroughly enjoy this very important hobby. To become a citizen scientist, visit WisconsinWeatherWatchers.org.
The consensus is not a whole lot of excitement from the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates report that came out yesterday. The report does show higher wheat stocks here in the U.S. and also assumed that Canada's and China's retaliatory tariffs would continue. After finding some footing earlier this week, grain markets are falling today. Cash corn down 12 cents at 4.58 and a quarter. December new crop corn down 8 1/4 cents at 4.46 and a quarter. Cash soybeans are down 15 and a quarter at 9.96 a bushel. November new crop beans down 14 and a half at 10.01 a bushel. July new crop wheat is down a nickel and a half at 5.66 and a quarter. But Class 3 milk contracts are seeing a bit of a rally. The April contract is up 26 cents at 17.70 a hundredweight. The May contract up 25 cents at 17.87. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The sun won't stop. There's plenty of it today with high temperatures reaching the mid-50s and more of it tomorrow as we climb to the low 60s. Clouds start to roll in for Friday. Things become breezy and we get muggy and warm with highs reaching 70. Then at night, thunderstorms roll through. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Currently, it's 42.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwaba.
Tom from Monona. I love this one. He says, this is Tom. I like to rub my feet together and drink milk out of the cow. Listen, we'd all spoon ourselves if we could, just for some affection. But rubbing your feet together, as I mentioned last week, is the closest thing to self-cuddling. It's just a relaxing, and Tom wants to do that, apparently laying under the udder of a cow. That is the idea of a chill evening on Fat Tuesday.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Earl Engel.
Pilgrim.
It's Thursday. We're excited to meet our pharmacist and Dr. Omar at 8 a.m., followed by Mandela Barnes in the second hour to discuss the April elections, the Supreme Court, and the state superintendent.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings, 8 till 10.
Blue line to blue line, and occasionally getting a penalty in the crease on the hockey rinks of America. Trygve Olsen joins us once again directly from our nation's capital. Former Republican like myself, a native of River Falls. He always keeps his skates sharp. And now a senior advisor at Lincoln Project. Trygve Olsen. I really want to see you. I've never seen you play hockey. I want to see you play hockey.
Dude, you didn't do a very good job with that one. He always keeps his skates like his wit, very sharp.
Well, it's I'm a little. It's the daylight saving time, Trygve.
Not well played, Todd.
All right, fine. Critic.
Everybody's
a critic. Everybody's
a
critic.
You know what I bought myself for Christmas?
What?
My very own home skate sharpener.
Really? And is it like a?
But I don't like my skates really sharp. I kind of like them not so sharp. I use a inch and an eighth grind, which is not sharp. But
you're no Dorothy
Hamill. My wit is sharp.
Yes, it is. I can attest to that.
My taste in 80s hair metal is outstanding, as we just heard.
Oh yeah, sure.
I like to rock by April Wine. Now, what are the odds? You know how awesome our listeners are? What are their odds that we could play Sister Christian? I ask a question about it, and immediately the first caller knows the answer of what makes that song unique.
Because a lot of listeners are from our generation.
Talking about my generation. Yes, correct. It's true. They're old. But well, not grumpy.
On.
Not grumpy.
Only Trygve slightly grumpy.
Grumpy. They're not grumpy Gen Xers. We're optimistic Gen Xers.
Yes, absolutely. We're optimistic. And you said it at the top of the show, and you're right. There's a lot of bad news out there. Let's just be honest about that. A lot of stuff to get us down. But I think it's important that we kind of dissect this and put it in perspective. And hang on, Trygve, because I have a positive, happy story from Wisconsin that I think will put a smile on your face. So
all right,
stand by for that. But first, the not-so-happy news. Because there's some breaking news on this. I've been wanting to get to this for a couple of days, and with the fire hose of information, we just have not gotten to do it. This comes to us from the Associated Press. Federal immigration authorities arrested a Palestinian graduate student who played a prominent role in last spring's anti-Israel protests at Columbia University, according to his attorney. Mohammed Khalil was inside his university-owned residence. Say that again. Inside his university-owned residence on Saturday night near Columbia's Manhattan campus when several Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents entered the building and took him into custody, according to his attorney. Greer, the attorney, said she spoke by phone with one of the ICE agents during the arrest, who said they were acting on State Department orders to revoke Khalil's student visa. When informed by the attorney that Khalil was in the United States legally as a permanent resident with a green card, the agent said they were going to revoke that too. Update here, just moments ago, by the way, from CBS News. Judge Jesse Furman said he would grant a request by Khalil's attorney allowing them to have privileged phone calls with Khalil at least twice a day, today and tomorrow, after being arrested, but they were going to keep him in custody. Khalil's attorney said they have been unable to have privileged communication with him since the arrest. They said the detention facility holding Khalil would not allow the type of call until March 20th. Trigvi, you've, for those that are not regular listeners, have spent a great deal of time in Eastern Europe fighting against autocracies and dictators and for democracy. And I want to set aside, because I have feelings on the Palestinian protests, I want to set that aside for a moment. We're talking about, regardless of a person's political views, whether I agree with them or not, they are a legal permanent resident with a green card. And for those who don't know, that's, they used to be green, so that's why it's called that. It gives them the legal right to work. Being a permanent resident is one step away from a naturalized citizen. When you're a permanent resident, you can come and go as you want in the country. You can work anywhere like any naturalized American citizen can. You have, the only thing you can't do is vote, basically, when you're a permanent resident. And here we have someone that, according to the attorneys, the U.S. State Department ordered that this guy be arrested, his green card revoked, not for alleged, not for any sort of damages, as far as we can tell, but rather because, and Trump called him out yesterday in this deal with Musk, and they keep using this word, Trigvi, instigator. What do you say?
You know what? I'm with Ann Coulter on this one.
How so?
Well, Ann Coulter said, and I quote, "There's almost no one I want to deport, but unless they've committed a crime, isn't this a violation of the First Amendment?" Like,
when Ann Coulter is, when it's too much for Ann
when
Coulter,
you've lost Ann Coulter, right? But what you have to understand is, I mean, Trump has even suggested that naturalized citizens should have their citizenship revoked. Mm-hmm. And if we're going to revoke naturalized citizens for violating the First Amendment, well, then it kind of gets to the point that I don't think they care much about the Constitution, right? Like, that the right to free speech is guaranteed to all of us, whether you're naturalized or a born citizen. The irony in all of this is he's doing his worst used car salesman shtick, and he doesn't even drive, at the White House with Elon Musk, who, slippery slope here, very likely lied, although he denies this, very likely lied on his citizenship application, because at one point he was here, what? Illegally.
Yeah.
Which, I guess, at some point, if he wanted to, they could decide that Elon Musk needs to be no longer naturalized. And that actually is a real violation. You can't lie on that. My wife went through the naturalization process. Mm-hmm. Listen, at the end of the day, all autocrats and autocratic actors, whether it's Putin, Lukashenko, or these guys, operate in the same way. They try and make people afraid to demonstrate they're inevitable and invincible. And that's how they try and keep and maintain power. And they want to have something they can hold over everyone, which is, you know, they can arrest you, they can deport you, they can do whatever. I mean, that's what life in an autocracy is like. And people assume, well, they're not going to come for me, I haven't done anything. Eventually, everybody becomes exposed. That's what they're trying to do.
Speaking of autocratic actors, even the leader of Hungary and other nations in Europe joined with American allies in France and Germany and the UK, calling Trump out over the last few days on what he has been doing in Ukraine. And now there is word this morning that Volodymyr Zelensky, the president of Ukraine, has agreed to a 30-day ceasefire if Russia will as well. There seems to be, Marco Rubio seems to be making some sort of repair in the damages there. But again, Trigvi, as someone who's...
Well, but what did the Russians do? What did the Russians do after Zelensky called for the ceasefire? It was one of the worst nights of bombing last night that Ukraine has faced in over a year.
Right.
The reality is, I mean, having dealt around the edges with Putin and his people,
You're banned from Russia by Putin himself. That's more than dealing with the edges.
People in the United States are so lucky that they have never had to encounter people that are that zero sum and that Neanderthalic. And I've said it over and over again. If Vladimir Putin could be doing and his people, his troops, to Beaver Dam, Wisconsin, or Baraboo, Wisconsin, or Superior, or Madison, or Green Bay, they would be doing it. And their troops would be raping young girls, and they would be destroying, leveling cities. That is what they're doing. And this idea that Zelensky made the choice, or it's Biden's fault, the person who made the choice is Vladimir Putin to invade his neighbor. The person who is making the choice to, for God's sakes, man, we're in Wisconsin. If you're at a college across Wisconsin, you have to know a bunch of Canadians because they all come down here to play hockey and study. Look at what he's done. I mean, the Canadians, how do you make the Canadians angry at us? Like,
it ain't easy.
How do you do that? You start threatening them. And Donald Trump is making that choice. Vladimir Putin made that choice.
Yeah.
And the idea that he doesn't get it is just so antithetical to what Republicans are supposed to be, what we as Americans are supposed to be. It's just, it's sad.
It is.
And it's indefensible, to be honest. They can't defend it. So they try and deflect. They try and distract. They try and diminish.
855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines. 855-752-4842. Joe, listening on WMDX in Madison. Joe, always appreciate your listenership and call in. What do you have for us today?
Well, Trivi, I want to talk a little bit more, jumping off on, you had moved to Canada, and I wanted to talk on that. Earlier in the half-hour show, you, honest to God, you had this sadness and this weariness in your voice, speaking about our Constitution and where we are. And really, yeah, and this sense of just, you know, technically the Constitution says this, but it appears to not be in force. So I think we are in different times. We are not in the same place we used to be. And one of the ways that, and you just expressed it, is this animosity being pushed toward Canada. And it's really more than animosity. It seems to me that Trump has been fed a line, a phony baloney line by Putin, which is, hey, listen, you got Alaska up there. Take over Canada, 51st state, just an exit, and you and Greenland too, and you're going to have this nice swath of country that's going to be all yours. The thing that fascinates me is that people are starting to talk about this like it's going to happen and like there's going to be, voting in Canada to talk about this. What fascinates me about this is that my understanding of annexation, and you probably have a better sense of this with your work that you have done, is that that is a result after a military takeover of a country. Mm-hmm. You don't just vote to be annexed, maybe if you're in the county level, but not on the country level, that doesn't happen. So what we are committing ourselves to with this kind of language is threatening a hostile military takeover of our neighbor to the north. And what amazes me about that is the geopolitical shakeout that could come from something like this. People will say, the American forces will just roll over them and they'll that's that. Tell me that that's ever happened in a country where you're going to be losing yourself, your sovereignty, and your identity, and you just give up. I think that what's going on in Ukraine, where it was presumed that Moscow would roll over into Kiev and have that done in 3 days, has certainly proved to not be true. So I am interested in your threads looking at this from NATO. You know, here's a NATO member going after another NATO organization. Would NATO just change their stripes and have a different name? Would they just kick out America and start over with a new organization? And how would it play? I think people seem to forget this, that Canada is not alone. It is part of the British, I guess the word is, it's not the Commonwealth.
It is the Commonwealth.
Yeah.
Let me ask you a question. Let's break this down to a simpler level. If your neighbor, and this is the way people should think about it, if your neighbor suddenly said to you, hey, you know what? You're now going to be my renter and I'm going to own your house because I can take it. How would you respond?
Right.
Would you? And let's say they did take your house. What would you be doing to the house? Right. Like you would fight that tooth and nail.
Yeah.
That is in essence what he's saying to our neighbor.
Exactly.
All right, come on back. Thank you, Joe. Always appreciate your call. As our friend Matt Flynn likes to say, once again, Joe nailed it. We'll get more Trivia's response the other side. And Pat Kreitlow is wrapping up his meet and greet with autographs. He'll join us after this. It's the Todd Allball Show, the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Folks, we've got to talk about Derek Van Orden. The second-term congressman representing Wisconsin's 3rd District is at it again, dodging public meetings and making all kinds of unhinged comments. As many scramble and struggle to understand the chaos of what's happening in Washington, D.C. and how it's impacting people here in Wisconsin, Van Orden has been as frustrating and disrespectful as ever. In one instance, Van Orden took to social media to berate a veteran who had been fired from his job at the VA by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. And the veteran in question is simply someone who was just reaching out to his congressman, looking for answers. Van Orden's office has also hastily canceled public meetings, and he has made some especially wild accusations about people who have been attending these public events. Congressman Van Orden needs to stop this unhinged madness, and more importantly, be more available and accountable to his constituents.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Celebrate the women who have helped shape the world as we honor Women's History Month with powerful stories of Wisconsin's own. We remember the legacy of Val Phillips, the trailblazing civil rights leader. He's also the first African-American woman elected to the Wisconsin State Assembly. Phillips was born in Milwaukee, and though she faced both racial and gender barriers, she remained strong in her fight for equality. She helped pass groundbreaking laws to desegregate public housing while also fighting for voting rights. Her courage and determination wasn't just for Wisconsin, but for the nation. And Phillips' legacy continues to inspire those who believe in justice, showing that one voice can spark change. These are the stories continuing to inspire all of us every day. And as we honor them, we will also recognize the powerful women who are still writing history. I'm Terry Barr.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, Eau Claire, the Valley's home of Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Putting his snowmobile away for the season and breaking out the convertible and making his way down to the capital city, the one, the only host of Up North News Radio, Mr. Pat Kreitlow. He's writing something on my head.
Shine on, you crazy diamond. Love always, Pat Kreitlow.
Signed my autograph by hand. The receiving line is done. The people in the lobby, the autographs are over, and he's here live in the studio along with Trigby Olson, senior advisor of the Lincoln Project out in D.C. How are you, Patrick?
This is always just the best hour or the best segment of improv on Civic Media.
That's pretty much what. Yep. The less you prepare, the better the segment is.
There is a comedy shop downstairs. Up one night at an open improv night.
Here's the deal. If any of us are ever funny enough, a trap door opens and we just drop down on the stage. Notice that hasn't happened yet.
Has not happened.
So we're still trying to get into the bigs. Still want that cup of coffee.
Oh, that's fantastic. Good to have you both here. Good to have you in person, Pat. Tell us, just take a minute to tell us a little about what brings you here. And Trigby, they got desperate enough. Somebody got a bad case of food poisoning, so he asked me to come on along tonight.
No, it's not like that at all. You were actually one of my first thoughts. Aww. For a panelist for our, Protecting Justice for All Supreme Court Election Forum tonight, where we're going to have three great panels talking about the impact of this election on April 1st in reproductive health care rights, on the economy, and on education. And that's where you come in, moderating a great group of experts and lawmakers talking about whether it's the voucher program that is quickly becoming a $1 billion monster or Act 10, the challenges to that. You will be talking to some great panelists, three different panels, about 25 minutes each. I'll moderate the one on reproductive health care rights, and Dan Schaefer, Civic Media political editor and creator of the Recombobulation Area, will be the moderator for a panel on jobs and the economy. Again, something that the state Supreme Court can go wildly one way or the other, either on behalf of workers and consumers and natural resources, or a court that is once again in the pockets of Wisconsin manufacturers and commerce and other assorted nefarious.
And you can hear it all start at 5 o'clock right here on the Civic Media Radio Network and be broadcast. We can see the place right across the street at the Overture Center, so that makes it real easy. And, Pat, I'm not sure if you knew this or not, while you were on your latest world tour and you were so kind as asked me to fill in for a day, Trigvy did weasel his way into Up North News Radio because he was so kind enough to bring along his friend, a person you know well, Mike Johnson, the superintendent of public schools in Eau Claire. So we talked to them.
That Mike Johnson.
Yes. Okay. Yeah, not little Mike. Oh, okay. Not little Mike Johnson. Okay. But it's people like that and Mike Johnson who are just, they're working their tails off along with teachers and educators and staff and parents to make these public schools run. And how they're able to do their job, people don't realize this, could be determined by rulings on the Supreme Court.
Yes, it does. People will say, well, but what does a Supreme Court have to do with that? And, you know, as we've discussed, a lot of folks will not necessarily connect the dots. An event like this will help people see, another example that I'd use, and Dan Schaefer might get into on the economy, is a court that tells the Department of Natural Resources that either, yes, we have defined what hazardous chemicals are, and so you can continue to seek out, remediate the sites, pursue damages from those responsible, or one that says, well, actually, DNR, you have to write a separate rule for every one of the chemicals that might get cleaned up. Even if there are 2,000 different PFAS chemicals, you've got to go through all these hoops before you can go after the corporate polluters. Mm. A state Supreme Court can do one or the other, and this one election can make the difference for a long time to come.
Lots of great information, again, starting tonight at 5 o'clock, pardon me, 5 this afternoon.
5 until 7.
5
yep.
until 7.
We get done just before 7, so that right away folks who want to watch the candidates actually debate, that's at 7 o'clock through WISN TV, so we will just become a watch party after that. And then I believe it's open bar.
Kreitlow brought down some old lining kugels.
Yes,
so I'm
exactly.
looking forward to
once
that.
Once the 12-pack is gone, open bar closes.
All right, no. Trivi, here's some good news for you. UW-Madison, the curling team, is on a dynastic run, taking home its second straight title. On Sunday afternoon, Wisconsin knocked off Michigan Tech 5-3 to claim the crown. The Badgers finished with 66 points, which in curling, I guess, is good. Did you ever play curling up there at River Falls? Did you ever curl?
I never curled. No.
I was waiting for you to connect the dots
I did
on this one.
We did do that game, you know, where there's like sawdust on the, where you shuffleboard.
Oh, yeah.
Bar game. You know that one?
Yes, of course.
It's kind of like curling for drunks. Actually, curling and drunks might go together. But
right.
Well, have you ever noticed the thing about when they walk in at the Winter Olympics, right? You got like the figure skaters,
right.
They all look good. The hockey players look good. The downhill skiers, the speed skaters, man, those guys, they look like Eric Heiden, right?
Right.
They got thighs like oak trees. Mm-hmm. And then you got the curlers.
They look like radio
people. They look like they just came out of Ray's bar in Eau Claire.
Because they did.
They probably did.
Quite literally did. Still got a lung dart that they fired up bringing in there with them. Absolutely.
Exactly.
They're real people. They're just real folks.
Yeah.
Yep.
My sister has a friend from college at Concordia who was an Olympic curler. And that guy, he probably goes like 250.
So he's the Shaquille O'Neal of curling.
Yes. You know? Yes, exactly,
yeah.
Right.
See?
All right, Trigvy.
Those guys.
Well, Trigvy, I hope you have a better
week.
That's
a great American sport, baby.
It is.
That's right.
It is a great American. Well, be happy, Trigvy. We appreciate you. Keep fighting the good fight. We're going to make it through it together with our friends and neighbors.
And me.
Behave tonight at the forum, guys.
We promise. We promise.
All right.
Kreitlow brought me a flask, so that's great.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Trigvy. Senior advisor at Lincoln Project.
See you guys.
Pat, you want to stick around for what's worse, or you got to go?
I wish I could, but
all right,
the next meeting beckons.
Very busy man.
I
Pat
know.
Kreitlow, we'll talk to him tonight at 5 o'clock. Zomers and I are back with what's worse after this. You don't want to miss it. Todd Allball Show, Civic Media.
Let me autograph that one.
Yeah, thank you. Here's another autograph. There you go.
.5 The Tap.
Jane Matinere and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, is it illegal for a law firm to represent someone the government doesn't like? Jim Santel from Amicus, a law review, joins us. Don't miss it.
Matinere on air, weekday mornings at 10.
Nothing you could say could tear me away from my dog. My dog is shallow, y'all. Hi, I'm Smokey Robinson. When you adopt a shelter pet, you not only bring joy and love into your home, you also give another animal the chance to experience that special bond. Join me in supporting American Humane Society and their incredible work to help our most vulnerable friends. Together, we can make a real difference. Donate today at AmericanHumane.org.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app. You're listening to 93.5 The Tap,
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. The European Union is countering President Trump's tariffs with measures of its own. European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen.
We deeply regret this measure. Tariffs are taxes. They are bad for business and worse for consumers.
Inflation slowed last month for the first time since September, but Jill Schlesinger tells us grocery prices remain the same and the price of eggs jumping again.
Egg prices were up by 10.4% in just 1 month. Year over year, egg prices are up by 58.8%.
Ukrainian and Polish officials confirm U.S. arms deliveries to Ukraine have resumed. And while Ukraine has agreed to a ceasefire, Secretary of State Marco Rubio says the U.S. is awaiting Russia's response.
The Ukrainians made very clear that this isn't just about ending a war. They need to get their prisoners of war back. They need to get the children back.
Moscow says it needs more detailed information. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammie McCormick.
You can